Tonight's message is It's Time for Change, and we're not talking about political or presidential change. We're talking about a spiritual change, an impact in your well-being, in your relationship with God. That's the change I'm talking about tonight. We're going to be reading from Deuteronomy. But first, did you know that there's a right preparation for worship, and it involves being clear, clean, and uncluttered? When we come and we begin to worship God and we bring all this baggage, it burdens our heart and it interferes with our faith and our relationship with God. That's why it says, bring your burdens to me. It's so important that we carry our burdens and place them at that foot of the cross like we just prayed. And it's important that we trust in God to handle those so that when we go to worship the Lord, that we have nothing interfering between us and Him. We have a direct line. Deuteronomy 2, verses 1 through 3 says, Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. You've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. See, I came to this house tonight with a word in my spirit, a word about change. And God said this is a season of change, major change, not just a menial change. I'm talking about a major change in your life, a major change of direction. You know, he said to prophesy and to tell my people change is coming. Major shifts are going to be taking place, and we need to get in line for that. And I'm not talking about, like I said, political change. I'm talking about the presidential change. I'm talking about a spiritual change is what I'm talking about here. The kind of change, come on in, brother. The kind of change that can move mountains and part seas and raise the dead and heal the lame and restore the downtrodden. God said to prophesy change so His people could participate and cooperate with Him in the process. And let me tell you, you cannot stop change from happening around you. You can either adjust to it or you can resist it. See, the word of the Lord said, you've been in this place long enough. You've gone around this mountain enough. You've chased the broken dreams that the world promises, only to find emptiness, desolation, and despair. In other words, you've been in this life cycle, this life situation long enough. Let me tell you, Satan is the absolute best in his trade of deception. We read in Revelations 12:9, and it said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your minds should be corrupt from simplicity that is in Christ. Satan has lured you into a sense of false security. He's tripped you up without you knowing. He's lied to you. He's stalled you out in every prime of your life. He's stolen your joy and distracted you from the glory of God. It may be your financial situation or your relationship. It may be your emotional arena. of your life. It may be the physical situation of struggle with your health. It may be your spiritual life, your walk with God, your experience with God, your very ministry with others, and the ability of the Holy Spirit to use you. I see this so often when we allow sin into our life and it affects this Holy Spirit's ability to use us effectively. It's like tying the Holy Spirit's hands. We bring all this scripture in and then we render it useless by our lifestyles. God said it's time for change. Is anybody ready for change here tonight? Amen. Anybody sick and tired of being sick and tired? Amen. Anybody fed up with your present situation? You'd like to see something new?
Amen.
Anybody ready for to break that cycle of debt? Ready to break that cycle of sickness? Ready to break that cycle of depression? I'm talking to anybody who's tired of going around and around the same old problems every day. God said, you've compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Amen. Tell your neighbor, enough is enough.
Enough.
I tell the devil, I've had enough. I've had enough hell in my life. I've had enough fear and confusion. I've had enough discouragement. I've had enough lack. I've had enough disappointment. I've had enough rejection and betrayal. I've had enough misery and I've had enough shame.
Amen.
Tell you, I'm ready for a change. I'm ready for a turnaround. Anybody ready for a turnaround?
Yes.
See, I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody needs a turnaround and you need it today.
Yes.
Somebody's facing a situation that's impossible for you to change. It's outcome. It's out of your hands. Somebody is in a legal situation and you need God to move and turn things around for you. Somebody else, you need to a miracle in your finances and you've done everything you know to do. And instead of things getting better, it's only getting worse. And somebody else, you're standing in the gap of your children. And you know that if God don't move, they're going to be in trouble. But I came to prophesy to you tonight in the house tonight that we serve a God of turnarounds. And this Bible is a book of turnarounds from Genesis to Revelations. And we see God turning things around. One of the worst case scenarios in the Bible is the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 in the valley of dry bones. And it looked hopeless and impossible beyond the point of no return. But when a man of God started prophesying in these bones, something started happening. Change started happening. Things started changing. The situation turned around and bones started coming together. They didn't just come together, but every bone found its match.
Amen.
And when the prophet finished prophesying, it was the very same place where there was nothing but dry bones. There stood a mighty army, fully equipped, fully empowered, and ready to fight. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready. I feel a turnaround in this atmosphere. I feel a turnaround anointing in this place. And I feel a tremendous anointing rising up in my spirit. Somebody's getting ready for a breakthrough right now. Somebody's getting free right now. Free in your mind and your spirit and your emotions and your financial situations. The things are turning around and somebody's ministry is turning around. Somebody's marriage is turning around. It was headed for the rocks, but now it's headed for the rock. The rock of Jesus. Let me tell you the cornerstone of help and hope. If somebody's getting a healing in your body. Sickness is leaving you now. Pain is leaving your body. With His stripes ye are healed. Let me tell you that the anointing destroys the yoke of Satan and his schemes. You have not because you ask not. Ask God for a double portion of wisdom, a double portion of knowledge, grace, peace, love, and compassion, and He will deliver it to you. Your season is changing, and you've been in a winter season, and it looked like and felt like everything was dying in you and all around you, but here comes a new season. It's a season of new beginnings. I prophesy new beginnings in your life. I prophesy new doors in your ministry, new connections and new anointings and new fire, new jobs, promotions, new avenues of income, new joy, new friends, new confidence, new strength, new health. Let me tell you, a new kindred fire for God. Somebody's going to go where they've never gone before. Somebody's going to take some new steps in new territory. Anybody ready to step out of the old and into the new? Somebody needs to activate your faith right now and to take a step, a prophetic symbol of moving into the new and out of the old. And you ought to grab your neighbor by the hand and help them step into the new blessing, their new blessing that's awaiting them. And tell your neighbor, I want to help you step into the new anointing, step into a new position, step into a new joy. Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember ye not former things, neither consider the old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Scripture tells us that God is doing something fresh and new, but the condition and requirements for receiving the new is to let go of the old. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
New creature. Old things are what? Behold, all things become what?
New.
One of the greatest hindrances in your breakthrough is your memory. We have a tendency to want to drag our past into our future. But God's saying the only way to get to the new is to get rid of the old. Tell your neighbor, I got to
let it go.
Leave it behind. Give it to Satan for him to keep.
Amen.
Let me tell you, when Elijah ascended into the heavens in a chariot of fire, Elisha prepared himself to receive a double portion of anointing by stripping himself of his old clothes. He took his old clothes and he rent them into pieces. To get the new, you're going to have to separate yourself from the old, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And in some cases, you're going to have to separate from your friends. That circle you've been running in. I spoke here last Wednesday night and I said, your friends can't go everywhere with you. Sometimes you got to leave them behind. In other words, you may have to get rid of some friends. You may have to be able to keep some of your old acquaintance. They may not be ready for your change. They may hold you back to stay with them. What's the old saying? Misery loves company. You have to let go. You got to forget about it and all of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Some of you have destroyed every good thing that comes into your life because you repossess it. You give it to God. You take it back. You give it to God. You take it back. And you see everything through the lens of a past disappointments, past hurts, and past wounds. It doesn't matter what he did to you or what she did to you or what they did to you. It doesn't matter what they said or what they say about you. It doesn't matter if they cheated on you, if they lied on you, if they stabbed you in the back so many times it looked like you're a kitchen cutlery set. You have to let it go. You have to forgive. It's not worth losing your relationship and your worship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just not worth it. You got to give it up, brothers. have to stop here and say that it's time to get right. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, you got to let it go. I told you earlier that there's a right preparation for worship, and it involves being clean and being clear and being uncluttered in your spirit life. I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk about some pastors, preachers, some ministers, and some chaplains right now. You can't play around with the world and have the power of heaven within. You can't play the field and carry the anointing. Let me make it plainer. You can't entertain the spirit of lust. The spirit of pornography. And have sweet communion with the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You've got to let it go. You've got to come clean, clear, and you've got to be uncluttered. Some of you are so caught up in tradition. How things used to be. We used to do it this way. That you can't enjoy when God moves in a different direction. God's bigger than His last move. I guarantee you, you got to let it go. I want to talk to somebody today who is standing on the edge of their miracle. There are those listening to this message right now who are standing on the dividing line between yes and no, between just enough and more than enough, between struggling and stressing, resting and blessing, between debt and debtless, between weeping and rejoicing, shame, forgiveness, lostness, and salvation. Just one step between empty nest and too much to handle. See, the truth is most of us have been at that place before, so close you could almost reach out and touch it. So close you could see the prodigal son or daughter come home. You could see your ministry launched. So close to a breakthrough in your finances. So close to starting your own business, so close to obtaining that rig, so close to making that CD, and so close to possessing that promise, that salvation, and sharing your testimony. We've all been at that place before, and for one reason or another, we failed to cross over. It could have been from fear of the unknown, or unbelief, or pride, or memory of past disappointments, or just unwise decisions and actions birthed out of the flesh. But God sent me here to help you through tonight, to push you over to the other side. You should be encouraging each other, not tearing each other down. Give your brother a little push and tell him, I just want to help you through. There's an old saying, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. In other words, you're the one who is destined to do without, so you think. You watch everybody else get theirs. You see everybody promoted, blessed, prosper, marriage, breaking out in ministry. And you just sit on the sidelines and do without. But the devil is a liar, I'm here to tell you. The devil is a liar. But I'm reminded of the man in the Bible at the pool of Bethesda, the place of blessings. And no doubt he had seen many people get their blessings. And no doubt he had seen many people get their deliverance and to get their breakthrough. And no doubt the devil taunted him and tormented him and told him, you're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to get a good project going. You're never going to start that business. You're never going to get your family saved. You're never going to travel the nations in this world. You're never going to find that godly mate. You're never going to get successful ministry. You're always going to struggle and worry and push and pull to make ends meet. But one day Jesus stood in front of him. He did not address any of the negative things that he had experienced in his life or what the devil had said. The devil told him he could never have. He just asked him one question. Wilt thou be made whole? At that moment, there wasn't enough There wasn't enough disease in this world to keep him back. There wasn't enough poverty to keep him broke. There wasn't enough devils in hell to keep him bound. The only one who can keep him out of his blessings was himself. Came to tell someone tonight, the only one that can keep you from your blessings is you. The only one that can keep you from, keep your prophecy from coming to pass is you. I've told many before that I'm a pilot. I don't fly anymore. I used to live in a flying community, and I became sick and decided it was best for me to stop flying. But the temptation was too great. I told my wife, I said, we need to move. She asked, why? I said, I refuse to stay at a place where I can see it and smell it, but can't partake or possess it. It's not enough for me to be close. It's not enough for me to just to be in a place where it's happening. And it's not enough for me to just walk by and look at it and smell it. It's not enough for me to sit around and watch other people enjoy theirs, and I can't have mine. See, that frustrates me. What I'm saying to you tonight is that frustrates your faith to sit down on the edge of your breakthrough and to just talk about how good it could be or will be one of these days. Faith is a possessor. Faith will never be satisfied just standing by and watching. Somebody in your spiritual sense are doing that very thing. You're walking around the buffet table of God's blessings and promises, and you're just satisfied just to look it over and to smell it and talk to each other about how good it could be, how good it should be. But here comes somebody who got theirs on time. You see, they paid the price and they started eating everything you've been looking at and smelling and talking about. And what happens? Instead of being glad for them, you get mad at them because they got what you wanted, but you weren't willing to pay the price. You weren't willing to move to allow that change to happen in your life. It's time to own up to it, my friends. I'm not here to fluff your feathers, but to give you the Word of God. I really don't want you mad at me, but the fact is, I'm going to get my blessings. I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm going to get my miracles. You can stand around and watch, or you can criticize and analyze. You can call me undignified. You can talk about me. You can put me down. But you can't keep me out. God said, I could have it. God said, I could have it, and I'm not going to spend the rest of my life talking about what I missed. For 40 years, that first generation of children in Israel wandered around in the wilderness till the doubters all died off. And all they could do was to talk about what they missed because they wouldn't move when it was time to move and they wouldn't pay the price. I don't know who I'm talking to here tonight, but up till now you've been satisfied just being close to your blessings. Just think about it, sing about it, to talk about it, to dream about it. But I'm telling you tonight that now is the time to move on your blessings. Now is the time to move on your spiritual relationship with God. Now is the time for you to pay that price. And if you don't make the move, you're going to frustrate your faith. Somebody needs to get on your feet. Take that prophetic step activate your faith. Somebody needs to dance your blessings. You can't walk, stomp your feet, and you can't stomp your feet, wave your hands. But you got to get up and activate your faith. You've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. There's just another way of saying it's time to change. And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here tonight, but when it's time for the seasons to change, you feel it. You can feel it in the atmosphere. Sometimes there's a period of tug of war. I think we're in it right now, where one day it's warm, the next day it's cold. I'm just wondering, is anybody feeling what I'm talking about in your spiritual walk with Christ? Anybody feeling that tugging and that pulling and that urgency in the atmosphere of your spirit? Are you feeling that? See, change is in the atmosphere. I'm telling you, something's pulling me. Something's stirring me. I used to be comfortable. I used to be satisfied. I used to be. But now I can feel a change coming in the presence of God working in my life. But not anymore. I'm not comfortable where I am. I'm not satisfied anymore. In fact, I'm uncomfortable. I'm disturbed. I'm agitated. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can't just sit there with your arms crossed. You can't just watch the world coming into the church and not say anything. You just can't sit there while they strip the blood of Jesus out of our songbooks and out of our schools and out of our children's. You just can't sit by. Can't just sit there while they preach and teach damnable doctrines that any road you choose will get you to heaven. That everybody's already saved. You can't just sit by and say nothing. They say there's no such thing as right and wrong anymore. It's just what you choose, and whatever you choose is right. You can't just sit there and act like everything's okay with homosexuality and lesbians that are being ordained as ministers of the gospel and say nothing about it. It's an abomination, says the Word of God. I said, I hear the Spirit of God saying it's time for change. And there's change in this atmosphere. And it's part of that change. God's people are getting fed up. Somebody's getting a backbone. God is raising up men and women and boys and girls who are not ashamed of the gospel and will not bow to the spirit of this age and will not compromise their faith with God. In Romans 1:16 and 17, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is what?
Written.
They shall just live by what?
Faith.
Faith. Here's part of the reason why. Maybe like me, you've been feeling uncomfortable and agitated and sometimes frustrated and you don't know why. Well, here's why. You were created for more.
Amen.
So you were created to possess more. You were of the power of God and manifest more of His glory and more of His love and more of His peace and more of His grace. And you were created with the capacity to carry that same anointing that Jesus had and to do the same works and even greater than He did according to the Scriptures. Matthew 17:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a what? Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall what?
Remove,
and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, the discomfort and the agitation and the frustration in your spirit is telling you it's time for a change. When my feet start hurting me, I know it's time for a change. I know my shoes need to get replaced or my shoes need to get bigger. Bottom line is something's got to change. When my eyes start hurting, and let me know that it's changed for a prescription. I got to get a new prescription. I need stronger glasses. I'm talking to somebody today who's agitated, stirred up in the spirit because you sense God's calling you to another level. See, many times the agitation and frustration you feel is the willingness of the flesh, or it's the unwillingness of the flesh to make the necessary adjustments. But somebody today is going to say yes. Somebody today is going to let your past go, is going to move with God and start paying the price, and you're going to see God's glory, and your ministry and your family is going to grow, your finances and health are going to improve, your relationship with others is going to improve. It's time for a change. Does anybody in this house know what time it is? Oh, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's time for change, my friends. This change can come in many different forms and fashions. First change you need is, if you're not saved, you need to be. Before you can move forward in the blessings of God, you've got to possess Him. But you got to leave that clutter behind. You can't bring it with you. You have to separate yourself from it so that it doesn't separate you from the power of God. We know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, according to the Scriptures. We also know that sin leads to what? Sin leads to death, which is separation from God. Let me tell you, I pray that God will grant us the desire to be transformed by His power and not conformed to this world, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us. If you haven't ever accepted Christ, you need to do that. You need to do it tonight before you leave here. You don't want to pull off this lot and not be right with God. That's first and foremost. Second, if you've got baggage and you need to leave it, then you need to leave it here. Don't take it with you. Give it to Satan. Somebody wants to keep it, give it to him. But you don't need to carry it with you. You got burdens, you got hurts, you got pain. Leave it behind. There's not a reason in the world to carry it with you. The wonderful thing about salvation and the wonderful thing about the Lord we serve is He can make all things new. All things. All the hurt and the harm and the pain that you've been carrying, He can handle it. I can't handle it. I just tell you now, I have to turn it over to Him. I have to give it up. Ain't room for it. Don't have time for it. I got to die daily. Got to pick up that cross and carry it. Got to come clean, my friends. You know, I think there's some here tonight that are at that next level. God's wanting to take you into that next level that you've been holding back and reluctant about moving on, but God is ready for change in your life. The question is, are you ready for change in your life? Are you ready to give up the old and take on the new? Tonight's the night for that. Put Satan in his place. Don't give room for him in your life. Give all that room to God. We're going to close with a prayer of salvation. Now, if you've been saved for years and years, I'm going to ask you to pray it anyway. It's not going to make you any more saved than you were before you came in here, but it might be an encouragement to the person beside you. Let's pray. Dear God,
Dear God,
I know that Jesus is your Son.
I know that Jesus is your Son.
And that He died on the cross for my sin. And that He was raised from the dead. I also know that I have sinned. And I'm now asking for forgiveness. I'm willing to turn from my sins. And receive Jesus as my Savior. And Master over me. Help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.